Today, we are wrapping up this series, Love Thy Neighborhood. And so let me ask, how really can you love your neighborhood? As we've been talking these last 2 weeks, it's one thing to say it and another to take concrete steps to reach out and build relationships to share love in our neighborhoods. Throughout this series, we've been taking seriously the challenge that came from a person whose name is synonymous with love. This is a person who not only taught about love, but lived a life that is a core example of how to live a life of love. It's Jesus. And Jesus challenges us with these words: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. This whole series is based on this simple premise. What if, when Jesus told us to love our neighbors, he meant our actual next-door neighbors? Often our temptation is to define neighbor in such broad terms that our actual next-door neighbors get overlooked. When we hear love your neighbor, we define it as trying to love everyone. But Jay Pathick, author of The Art of Neighboring, says the problem is when we aim for everything, we hit nothing. When we insist we're neighbors with everybody, often we end up being neighbors with nobody. What if we take Jesus' challenge to love our actual neighbors? What if we decide that we will, more than wish them well from a distance, actually build relationships to be the kind of community that God calls us to be? To intentionally and actually build relationships, we might consider doing these things. Bring our neighbors to mind every day. Be excited to see them. Listen to them. Have time for them. And make them and what they want a priority in your life. These are the building blocks of any important relationship, aren't they? That's what we're doing today, making a plan to have important relationships with people right next to us. During this series, we've been using this tool, the neighbor map, to help us better love and be present in our neighborhoods. And during week one, we determined to know our neighbors' names. Now, some of you told me, I've got all 8 spots filled. And some of you set out to find a few you didn't know. In week number 2, we determined to get to know our neighbors. We challenged one another to be willing and ready to interact with them. Did anyone have a little extra linger time around the mailbox this past week? My own mother had watched our service online and took this seriously, let me tell you. We moved my parents, who have relocated here from South Dakota due to health reasons, into a detached townhouse in Dayton, Minnesota, just last Saturday. And after hearing Pastor Maria's sermon on Sunday, on Monday morning, my mom put on her coat, walked across the street, and knocked on the door of the neighbors just across from them. And they answered. They had a wonderful introductory conversation. Turns out they have spent winters in nearly the same place in Arizona, and my mom is feeling confident to host some driveway happy hours soon to get to know them better and to invite others too. Good job, Mom, and happy Mother's Day too. As we conclude this series today, we're going to challenge you to take the next step in these neighborhood relationships, a step that could begin to transform your neighborhood. But before I do that, I want to share a story with you. A lot of what we're doing in this series is just asking ourselves to be brave and follow Jesus' call to make a difference with real people who are near to us. There's a story that's gained traction over just the past 10 days about a stranger who made a difference in 2 girls' lives over 20 years ago. This video tells us more.
I was wondering if you can help me find Tracy. Tracy is a woman that my sister and I met on a plane 20 years ago when we were fleeing my country of former Yugoslavia. We came here as refugees. And we flew on a flight from Amsterdam to Minnesota. My sister spoke English and I didn't speak any English at the time. We were trying to communicate and talk with miming and knitting together. And they ended up giving us an envelope and told us not to read it or open it until we left the plane. On the outside of the envelope was an amazing message of welcome.
I treasure this because as time goes by, I've experienced that in most spaces, welcomes like this are very uncommon.
I opened the envelope and inside of the envelope was a $100 bill. It might not seem like a lot to some, but to us, it was an inordinate amount of money that helped us survive that entire summer. And 3 months of that helped us be able to be placed with a host family. We would not have been able to survive those 3 months. I want to be able to find Tracy to thank her for her generosity, for her kindness, for her empathy, and for welcoming my sister and I. I was wondering if you could help me find her.
Well, guess what? Tracy has been found. This video actually became a story on CNN, and it was her handwriting on that envelope that caused Tracy's daughter and another friend to say, "This has got to be you." I especially love this story because I know Tracy. She was a member of the church in Coon Rapids, where I was a pastor, and she now lives in Blaine. Tracy is someone who shares love and joy and kindness wherever she goes. It's true. And just a few days ago, Tracy and those two girls, now grown women with impressive careers, were able to reconnect over Zoom. Here's a little more of the story.
Fast forward 20 years later, Ida graduated from BU and works in the nonprofit field in Boston. But the one thing missing in their lives was Tracy. And for the past 10 years, Ida has been searching for her kind stranger through social media.
And I noticed there was this woman, Ashley, who said, like, "This is my mom. I recognized her handwriting. You're looking for Tracy Peck."
The kind stranger is Tracy Peck from Minnesota. And just this week, the families connected over Zoom.
It's so wonderful to meet you.
I wanted to show you, if I kept on looking at the thoughtful note, and it kind of really made me realize that there is goodness in people.
Kindness is something that you're given. It's a gift. It's a true gift from God. It was a no-brainer for me to do this for you girls because it was just like, I just was so touched by your story.
An act of kindness from a stranger more than 2 decades old and then remembered like it was yesterday. In Boston, I'm Paul Burton, WBZ News.
I reached out to Tracy, and she said it has been a whirlwind. So far, she's done interviews with CNN, the Star Tribune, Washington Post, Public Radio, and Channel 4 News. She's thrilled to be able to spread the message of welcome and kindness and what it can do. On this Mother's Day, I especially love one of the things Tracy said. She said in an interview with CNN that she already has 5 children, 3 daughters, and 2 stepsons. But she feels that now she has 2 more. They may have been strangers 23 years ago when Tracy wrote that note on the plane, but now she says they are family. It's an outcome and blessing she never would have dreamed of all those years ago. We never know the impact our simple acts of kindness might have on people, do we? Or even the impact they might end up having on us. That's really what this series, Love Thy Neighborhood, has been about. It's a way to encourage us to follow Jesus' words and go for it, to take action and reach out to create the kind of neighborhoods and the kind of world we believe God envisions. So today, for the final concrete strategy in how to do this, it's Jesus' words again that will guide us. Find a person of peace. As Jesus prepared to travel from town to town, neighborhood to neighborhood, to spread his message of love, he sent his disciples ahead of him to each town he intended to visit, and he gave them these instructions. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you. Jesus lays out an important strategy for loving a neighborhood, and it's called the Person of Peace Strategy. He's saying you don't have to do this alone. Seek out allies and use their gifts to complement yours. Probably every city, every community, and every neighborhood has these people. You can identify them by two key characteristics of a person of peace. Number one, influence. People know them and trust them. And number two, receptivity. They offer hospitality and include you with respect for your beliefs, even if they don't embrace your beliefs themselves. Who in your neighborhood might already have connections that could help you in gathering people together? Could you reach out to them with your idea and ask them to help you? Like, hey, if you invite people, I'll do the setup and provide the treats, or something like that. Jesus knew if his disciples, his small group of 12 followers, could connect with insiders from the community, they could leverage that influence to bring Jesus' love to the whole community. The same is true for us. Who could you partner with in your neighborhood to help you reach out and gather people together? Aren't we so grateful? Well, it doesn't really look like it today, but the weather is turning. Yesterday was beautiful, wasn't it? This is a great time to gather people outside together. How could you make this happen in your neighborhood? We have a team from Our Saviors that since last September has been part of a synod program called Faith and Neighboring Practices. We applied for and were awarded a grant for this, actually. So this team is re-engaging with spiritual practices in our own lives and soon our congregation so that we can authentically engage with our neighborhood, hear about the needs in our neighborhood, and trust that God is already active in the community beyond our church's walls. This summer, our team's project will be to host several events called Neighborhood Night Out. We have identified three neighborhoods nearby that we want to host an opportunity for neighbors to get together, and we'll be there as listeners. We believe it's so important to go where people are and to hear them speak about their needs and their neighborhood's needs. We want the events to be within walking distance for these neighbors. So one at one, we're going to gather in a cul-de-sac, in another in a neighborhood park, and at another a picnic shelter nearby. A key is to have in each of these neighborhoods someone already there who can extend the invitation, the person of peace, as Jesus calls them. Our team is excited, and we'll be offering some opportunities for more of you to get involved as we continue our planning. But you don't have to wait for us. You can do something in your own neighborhood now. Think of your person of peace who you want to invite to come alongside you, and then plan what you could do to bring your neighborhood together. We're not going to tell you exactly what to do because you need to pray and do a little listening to help you determine what it might be. It might be a block party. It might be some sort of service event. It could be a 4th of July parade or picnic. It could be a bonfire and s'mores night or an ice cream social. It might be something you never would have thought of sitting in this room today. But as you pray and listen and partner with the person of peace, you will know how to reach out to your neighborhood. Finally, your stories of connection might not make CNN, but your life could be changed. Your neighbor's life could be changed, and one by one, our neighborhoods can bring change in our communities and our world. Love God and love your neighbor. The greatest commandment is this. Thanks be to God. Amen.